Welcome to City Church's podcast, and thanks for joining us. Open up a Bible and listen in. And now, here's Pastor Kyle with today's message.
Well, hey, how's it going, City Church? Man, worship just hit the spot for me today. Anybody else in the room? Today, it was like a good taco. You know, you've had it before, but it hits the spot that day, right? Yes, I compared worship to a taco. No emails, okay? Well, hey, today we're going to be doing something a little bit different. I'm going to be interviewing someone who I've grown to know over the last 3.5 years named Kevin Cry. I'll tell you a little about him. I'll tell you a little bit about him and why I wanted to have him up here today. First off, he's a believer, and he is married to his wife, Sarah, of almost 20 years.
20 years in December.
20 years this in December. December. Yeah. All right.
Well, don't take that away from
me. For that.
Yeah, that's right.
They have 4 kids together, including Kaylee, Kara, and Cannon, and that includes his nephew, Cooper, who they've recently taken in as well, which is awesome. And I recently learned that Kevin used to be a youth pastor. I actually didn't know that until about a week or so ago. And so he understands what life is like on the ministry side of the coin. But Kevin has been a sought-after strength and conditioning trainer who has trained thousands of athletes. And for some of them, that has meant helping them make a team that they were applying for. You know, for some others of them have gone on to collegiate scholarships. A select few have gone on to play professionally, making the U.S. Olympic team, even some of them. And on top of that, he represents today some of the top athletes and speakers, including American Ninja Warrior Daniel Gill, Olympic gold medalist Laura Wilkinson, and 2-time Olympic medalist Jonathan Horton, and more. So if you would, give a warm welcome to Kevin Cry, everybody. He has been here all week with his family for a Disney trip, so hope you've enjoyed the light crowds and low prices on us. That was just from us to you.
Burning cash.
As many of you know, I'm a huge fan of American Ninja Warrior, and of all of them, Daniel Gill is my favorite, and he has preached here at City Church, thanks to Kevin. I'll get more to that, tell you more about that in a little bit. But I still remember the first time I ever saw Daniel Gill run a course on TV. Show of hands, how many of you have seen Daniel Gill do his thing? I was blown away by his athleticism. He's always the first and he's always the fastest. But what I was blown away by even more than those things was his faith. He wears it right there on his shirt. It says kingdom. There's an arrow pointing upward. And as someone who loves doing live interviews, I used to be a live interview producer in my time before City Church. That's what I did. I thought, man, I would love to do an interview with Daniel Gill for City Church's website one day. And so in the summer of 2017, I made an inquiry into Daniel Gill's website on the contact form, I think it was, and I introduced myself. I said, I'm a pastor, you know, would it ever be possible if he was in the area to grab an interview with him? And honestly, I did it on a long shot, expecting to hear nothing in return. Until one day, I get a strange phone call from an unknown number. Now, if you know me, you know that I am super awkward and weird. I could put a period there and you would all agree, but especially when it is on the phone with someone calling me who I don't know. You know, anyone else like that out there? And so I hear this voice on the other end of the phone call say, is Kyle there? And the first thing I think when I hear that is, how do you know my name and how did you get my phone number? Anybody else with me on that one? And then the next thing that goes through my head is, what are you trying to sell? I don't care about winning a chance for a free cruise or your political survey. There's nothing you could do that would make me interested in it. So my skin just starts crawling. So I learned to redirect the question. And I, instead of answering it, is Kyle there? I always say, who's asking? So here I am, just kind of frankly not in my highest self in that moment. And at this point, Kevin, what were you thinking?
Oh, yeah, a lot of times when I respond to calls like that, people are usually very defensive because of telemarketers. So I just let the person keep talking and kind of just keep digging their own grave, because inevitably they feel bad that they treat me like they're slamming the proverbial door on the phone in my face. So, yeah.
I'm sorry.
I get a good laugh out of it.
I apologize. Yeah. And so here I realize quickly, once he explains who he is, I'm like, oh, here's a kind man trying to extend a dream come true for me. And I have treated him like a corporate salesman. And so anyway, all that to say, I gave that context because actually what's formed over the last 3.5 years is actually a genuine friendship with Kevin. And I hope that every one of you who's in here knows this about me and our team here at City Church. We don't treat friendships as an end to get something out of people. Can I get an amen on that? And I always, when I approach a situation, I think to myself, Lord, who is this person who I'm interacting with right here? And what is it about that person that we're supposed to connect about? And so I treated with Kevin just like I do with everybody else. And so we formed a genuine friendship. And so with all of that being said, you know, Kevin not only did introduce me to Daniel, he made the interview happen, made him preaching here happen and all that. But earlier this year, I just felt the Lord tugging on my heart that Kevin had some things to share with our church that would be encouraging. In what he does, he's mostly behind the scenes with the athletes, making all this stuff happen in his contacts. How many of you guys work behind the scenes in what you do in some context? Show of hands. Okay. Now, I've been in points in my life where I have worked behind the scenes. I'm blessed now I get to do a little bit of both, working up front and behind the scenes. But sometimes when your whole job is behind the scenes, making other people look better and more successful, there can be an assumption that you don't have anything to say. And so I know that Kevin has some really, really good things to say that have blessed many athletes over the years and other professionals at the highest level. And so Kevin has some really good things to say today that are going to bless you. Before we get into that, let's pray. Father God, we just invite your Holy Spirit here. Lord, we thank you that the blood of Jesus has cleansed us from unrighteousness. For everyone that calls you Lord, Lord, you have wiped away our sin, given us a clean slate, and given us the hope that every single day is a new day that we can start over, we can fix our eyes and focus them upon you. And Lord, and even Lord, with things like goals and things we're trying to achieve and accomplish on this side of heaven, with every setback, Lord, you give us the opportunity to get back up and get our eyes back on you, Lord. And I pray today, Lord, that Kevin's story would just speak to hearts today as he shares what you've put on his heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Kevin, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, well, I was born in Westminster, not too far from here. Always told, yeah, someone said yay. I always told my parents, it would have been nice if you could have driven like 5 more minutes. I could have been born at like Huntington Beach Hospital. Opposed to, where are you from? Westminster. Where's that? Well, it's by Huntington Beach. Oh, right here. So anyway, so I lived in Northern California. I'm 43. Moved up there at a really, really young age, like right before kindergarten. Lived there pretty much my entire life. Been married 20 years as of this last December. So right on. Anybody been married 20 years? I met someone at Disneyland the other day on a Small World, of all places, but they were celebrating 50 years. That is awesome. Mm-hmm. So for me, I've really been called to work with kids pretty much. Even when I was in high school, I know I wanted to work with kids. So I became a strength conditioning coach. I taught school for a little while and just really realized that's really not where the Lord wanted me. Are some of you trying to figure out where the Lord wants you? I still am. So That's kind of my walk, my journey has been early. I think I was Jonah. I'd hear from the Lord and I just want to run. I mean, just flat out run. And then I think there was a period where I was more like Peter, where I'd hear from the Lord and want to just tell the Lord how he was wrong. And I would show the Lord why I was right and I would wrestle with it. And I think now at this point in my life, even being 43, I've become more like Solomon, where it's really reflective. Like, what is my life truly worth, or what am I supposed to be doing, or what am I called to do? Because all I really wanted to do is serve purpose for a greater good, and I can't say that's what has always been at the forefront of my mind. But so in 20 years, I would say a little bit about myself is I've really just tried to be the best follower I could be of the Lord, be the best husband to my wife, and now just shepherd and steward the 3, now 4 beautiful kids that I've been given. And then whatever else he lays in front of me, I just want to attack it with fervor, basically.
That's awesome. Tell me a little bit about the ninja story.
So I started a tech company because what strength and conditioning coach doesn't know a lot about technology? I was in the throes of that, and I had about an 18 to 20 hour layover between a meeting in Phoenix, and I live up, you know, like I said, in Redding, so going from Phoenix back to California and then to Houston, it just didn't make any sense. So my wife said, hey, why don't you go to Houston a little early? And the reason why was, I'm going to digress here. Anybody ever had a gopher or seen Caddyshack? Well, I had a gopher in my backyard I could not kill. So I kept tearing up my lawn, and said, I'm just going to build a Ninja Warrior course in my backyard, because my son, who was 3 at the time, we liked that show, so I'm going to build a Ninja Warrior course. So I went to Houston, to like the mecca of Ninja Warrior, which is Iron Sports. And on that trip, I met somebody that was actually really close with Daniel Gill, and Daniel Gill trained at that facility, which I didn't know that at the time. I wasn't really a big fan. And wind up meeting Daniel and invited him to my 40th birthday party. Kind of weird thing to do. He's like, hey, I just met you. Would you like to come to my 40th birthday party? There's going to be cake and everything. And we kind of hit it off. And through that, he asked if I'd be interested in maybe, you know, representing him. And, you know, I saw Jerry Maguire in college. So, yeah, I could do that. Sure, right?
You had me at hello.
Yeah, I had you at hello, yes. So, you know, in the midst of being a strength and conditioning coach and then having a tech company, I started representing Daniel Gill. And through that, now I work with a ton of different Ninja Warriors, have a Ninja Warrior gym, and I help them and other Olympians do a lot of speaking. So it was really all just started because I couldn't kill a gopher in my backyard. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, the Lord has sent a possibility in store.
That's right.
Did you ever imagine that you'd end up doing this?
No, not at all. And the one thing I've really realized in my walk is there's like zero certainties, really. I really look back at one thing that happened in high school. Anybody here ever play Capture the Flag? So we were playing Capture the Flag in high school, our soccer team, and I was an underclassman, and underclassmen were sent all over the campus, and we had to get back to this tree without being tagged by basically all the seniors and some of the juniors. And so everyone was tagged, and I was basically hiding because I didn't want to get tagged, but obviously the game is to get to the end, and really just felt like I got to get there. I know I can win. I just have to think about how. So a custodian walked by, and I asked the custodian, his name was Richard. I said, hey, Richard, do me a favor. Grab me by the arm and just start chewing me out like I'm in trouble and walk me to that tree. He said, okay. So he grabs me, and he's just tearing into me, yelling at me. And believe me, it wasn't beneath me to get in trouble. So this wasn't like a big shock to my coach or anybody else. And it's like the Red Sea parting. All the seniors just get out of the way. They're like, oh, he's in trouble. And he just lets me go, and I walk up and just touch the tree. And I celebrate, and the seniors are having to do calisthenics. And my coach, Tim Kleiber, says, you're either going to sell cars for a living, or you're going to rule the world. And it was in that moment, I think back to it, because I always was thinking about entrepreneurially doing different things, or how to get out of class, or how I could get in the smartest group of students in my class where we'd have a big project to do, and I would do the one thing that was the least amount of work, but I would still get the best grade. Always thinking about how to work those angles. And when he said that, it wasn't, and even to this day, there's no negative thing about providing for your family selling cars, but obviously the connotation he's making is I'm going to sell something to somebody that might be broken. And so I decided, like, yeah, I don't want to sell cars. I'm just going to rule the world. But in that moment, looking back, that's the very first time I can think back of how the Lord, like, wonderfully created me and how my mind works. And I lost a lot of years between my senior year in high school and I would say maybe 15, 18 years where the Lord gave me some talents and abilities, and I didn't really use it for him. I love the Lord. I thought I was still seeking the Lord, but some talents that I possessed that I could have used a lot sooner in my life, I really reflect back and say, I think that was the very first time where the Lord said, I made you different. And I don't even know where I was going with that, other than the fact that it's just really, it's really key to me where, you know, that's one example in my life that I can see how I ended up here, if that
makes
sense.
That's awesome. Tell us about a time where maybe you weren't as in tune with the voice of the Lord and maybe something that didn't go as well.
Yeah, I have something that's very, very actually raw. For those of you that watch Ninja Warrior, there's Daniel Gill, one of the gentlemen I represent, got second this year. So there was a lot of publicity and a lot of stuff around just the show because they had their second winner in 11 years. And I wanted to do a live tour. And it had been tried a couple times and failed pretty miserably. And I decided, I'm going to do it. So I pray, like, Lord, I just said it right there. I'm going to do this. But I was really saying, Lord, I really want to do this. I feel like it's on my heart. What do you think? And any of you ever pray and you just kind of like, you open your eyes and you expect the Lord to answer it right then and there. So I pray, all right, Lord, hourglass over, sand's coming out, you're on the clock, you got to give me this answer. So days go by, a couple weeks go by, and I've got to make this decision if I'm going to pull the trigger on this live tour. And I don't hear anything. So I say, well, I didn't hear a no, so it must be a
yes,
exactly. So I go ahead with the tour, and we're 5 weeks into an 8-week tour. We started Northern California in Eureka. We are going to end in Chula Vista and in San Diego for our last couple stops. Pulled the plug on it after we were probably upside down about 2 or 3 years of college for one of our kids. And it was, and I know now, it wasn't that it was a no, it was a not yet. But because I basically went into it saying, Lord, I'm going to do this, and I'd really appreciate you to bless it. Like, that doesn't normally, that's not how the Lord operates. The Lord isn't on our timeline. We're on His. And I think oftentimes, when we're seeking the Lord, we know, right? We know. He's given us insight. He's given us the Holy Spirit. Some of us, He's given a helpmate and a spouse. And through that prayer, I think I could have avoided a big financial setback if I just really had listened and really been in tune with what the Lord wanted.
That's good. You know, I think we can all relate to something that we felt like was supposed to have maybe even a really good thing, and it just wasn't quite yet the right time, and we pushed ahead. I certainly, as a church leader, have been there myself, where even a great idea of something that's going to advance the church, and looking back, it was a lot of Kyle, and it wasn't a lot of prayer, and it wasn't a lot of the Holy Spirit, and God didn't bless it. And so I think that's something that we can all kind of take into account. What are some of the greatest obstacles that some of your clients have had to overcome, and what did they learn from some of those journeys?
Yeah, I mean, one that comes to mind is I represent Laura Wilkinson, who is the most accomplished platform diver in U.S. history. She won a gold in 2000 and 2004 and in 2008. She competed, didn't win a gold, neither of those. And her and her husband decided to start having kids. So she retires from diving. And she can't get pregnant, so they started down the adoption process. Fast forward many years, and they've got 4 kids, 2 they've had of their own, and then they have 2 that they've adopted, 1 from Asia, 1 from Ethiopia. The government actually of Ethiopia was prohibiting them, basically blackmailing them from having a child they'd already met. But in this process, her husband encouraged her, Laura, you need to get back in the pool and take some time for yourself. So she started diving, and she realized some of the skills she had years and years ago were coming back pretty fast. And she really felt the Lord's prompting to make a comeback, which sounded really, really crazy to her friends, her old coaches, teammates, because at this point she's in her late 30s, and most divers are retired in their mid-20s. And here she's making a comeback at almost 40. So she qualifies for the trials for this summer, and a pain comes back in her arm that was there when she, you know, ended her career, and she needed to have a neck surgery, have a fusion of C4 and 5. And so she has this neck fusion, but this is after the Lord, she knows, has told her to do this, and they sell their house, they downsize, her husband quits his job. Meanwhile, the whole time, the Lord is like, I want you to keep moving forward. So when we got connected, she didn't have any Olympic sponsors, had nothing. Just other than this prompt that the Lord wants her to dive again, which is crazy. And so recently, as of a few months ago, she got her largest Olympic sponsor she's ever had to continue this dream. She's speaking at churches. And what's cool is we're in the midst of that story. So if you follow the 2020 games and diving, follow Laura Wilkinson. Because again, this is something the Lord just called her to do. And she said, this is radical. This is nuts. This is crazy. But now she's using her platform and she's speaking everywhere to churches, and I'm getting to be a part of watching it unfold in the midst of it. And it's no different than many of your stories who are raising kids, working, you know, having challenging things happen. And to me, that's what's cool, is I get to see it on more of a bigger scale in terms of, you know, Olympians and things. But it's just as cool anybody's story about how the Lord's using them where they are. Yeah.
That's cool. What about Jonathan Horton? Tell us a little about him.
Jonathan Horton, Sorry, this microphone is new to me, right?
Sorry.
No, it's great. So Jonathan was an Olympic medalist, 2-time Olympian, 2-time medalist in 08 and 12. He was captain of the 2012 team. And
his biceps are the size of my entire
yeah,
head.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Jonathan, Jonathan is, you know, we have this joke, actually. Anybody watch Toy Story or seen Toy Story? I tend to, I have a lot of individuals kind of rallying around that I'm starting to represent and work with. And this is the joke Jonathan had come up with, but it's like Andy's toy box. Like, I have all these athletes and Olympians who are supposed to be past their prime, and I'm starting to represent them and work with them. And the Lord's doing just amazing things in their life. Like, Jonathan really never did a whole lot of church and a lot of ministerial or ministry type events. But now, since he's doing Ninja Warrior, and keep in mind, he's been on the show 7 times. He's the most decorated ninja never to make Vegas. So it's hard for him, who's an Olympian, multiple time All-American, national champion, has represented our country twice, and for him to keep going the Ninja Warrior and keep failing. But what we're finding is the Lord is using this resurgence of his career to really bring a lot of people to the Lord. And it's cool the way the Lord is using some of Jonathan's failures for his glory, and it's giving Jonathan a chance to speak more and more. And it's just exciting to see how the Lord uses things that we say it's done, it's over, it's tired, but he just resurrects things. It's cool.
That's awesome. Of course, we got to hear a little bit about it. Tell us a little bit about representing Daniel and just all that you've seen him achieve since you've been doing that.
You know, working with Daniel is something that it's been a blessing, but it's really been revealing to me to see just how much when we really truly give our lives over to the Lord, what that really, really looks like. Because a lot of us can say, you know, Lord, make me more like you. And then he puts us through a trial or somebody wrongs us, and then we get angry or we get upset. But really, that's what we prayed for. We prayed for the Lord to make us more like him. And obviously, he went through a ton of stuff. So with Daniel, I won't say in awe because it's the Lord, but the amount of integrity and character he carries with himself, with many things that come up, he does not take it lightly that a lot of kids look up to him, that a lot of churches follow him, and that he represents our mighty God, and that's the most important thing to him. When I met him, the very first thing he said, or as we started talking about working together, he said, I want to serve God first and foremost. Second, I want to get engaged and married to my girlfriend, which they did in like 7 weeks after we started working together. And then third is I want to train for Ninja Warrior. But even though that was third, it was like could have been 103rd, because his desire to chase the Lord and chase what the Lord put on his life was by far the most important. And it's fun to run alongside somebody that really pursues his relationship with Christ with such fervor and such dedication, and to see it walk out when he passes up a lot of deals and a lot of things that he could do, but he knows it's gonna hinder his ministry or hinder his walk with the Lord. So it's cool.
When I met him and the few times I've been able to spend time with him, it really, that phrase, what you see is what you get, comes to mind. If you've ever seen the guy on TV, the joyful, the smiling, all that, it's just, that is truly who he is through and through. We went to Downtown Disney after church when he was out here, and everybody was stopping and wanting a picture, and he just treated each person with such dignity and respect, and it was so cool to see that. So odds are that none of us in this church are ever going to be professional athletes. Can I get an amen? Maybe one or two of you. I don't know. Sorry if I just burst your bubble and your dreams right here. I'm looking at you. I know you might have, you have aspirations. He's raising his hand. You guys, he can represent you later on in his life. But, you know, for the rest of us, you know, we're just going to like walk our own path in life. And so, but I think what we're talking about here today is a lot bigger than athleticism and things of that nature. I think that there's principles every single one of us can glean about what it means to win wherever God has put us. And so as we wrap it up, I just want to ask you, what word of encouragement would you give to what I'm calling the rest of us who won't be a pro athlete, but we want to be the pro best version of ourselves for the Lord?
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the common denominators of the different athletes and people I've worked with, everyone's going to find what their calling and what their thing is. And once you know what it is, whether you kind of find it like at a younger age or an older age, I would really encourage you just to press into that and pray into that. If you have a passion, the Lord gave you that passion. And the Lord wants you to use that passion, for his glory and to bring people to him. And I can tell you, and I was telling Pastor Kyle that I feel like I wasted a lot of good years as an entrepreneur, but more importantly to me, just as a believer, as a son of God, as a husband, as a father. And I'm glad I'm just figuring that out in my early 40s and not in my like 60s or 70s. And not that that would be bad if it was 60 or 70, but I would encourage you that if there's something burning in your heart to bring people to the Lord, like step out in faith, and there's a lot of things that are going to come at you that are going to try and knock you down or tell you where you're not good enough or you're not, you know, that you shouldn't be able to do it or who do you think you are. But the God of the universe knows who you are, and the God of everything created gave you that, and push into that and just bring people into a loving relationship with the Father.
Amen. Thanks, Kevin. So what I want to do now is transition a little bit and just share some insight from a familiar passage to many of you in light of Kevin's story. So if you got a Bible, go ahead and open it up to 1 Corinthians 9, and I'm going to look at verses 24 through 27. And as you turn and swipe there, if you didn't bring a Bible, download the YouVersion app, find 1 Corinthians 9, you can track along with it that way. You know, today is the last day of our Wise Words for a New Year series, and I point that out to you because we've been doing that for the first 2 months of the year, and what we're going to do starting next week is we're going to transition back to the Gospel of John, which we really ended kind of right before Christmas time, and I told you we'd come back to it, and because the next part of it, we get right into the Easter season, so we're going to start that back next week. But in 1 Corinthians 9, what Paul is basically doing, to give you a little bit of context, is he's defending his ministry. He's on the defensive. How many of you have ever felt like you were on the defensive in life? And if you read 1 Corinthians 9, you can actually feel it in Paul's ministry that he was on the defense, feeling like he had to give an account to prove why he did what he did and why he made the choices he made. And in the midst of that, after this whole long diatribe about a bunch of different things, he writes the greatest analogy, one of them, for the Christian life known to man. And it's found in 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 27. So Kevin's going to read it for us.
Do you not know that in a race, all runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified.
Thank you. You know, we're all running a race, and your race looks different from my race. And but Paul says that the Christian life, as we experience it and as we know it, is one ginormous race that we're all supposed to run in such a way that we would win it, and we're all supposed to help each other along the way. You know, sporting events have been popular from the dawn of time. When you go to ancient Rome and Israel and some of the places where they find the oldest forms of society to ever exist, you almost inevitably, in every context, archaeologists uncover some sort of sporting stadium. They're always there. And in particular, in Corinth, the Corinthians had a very specific game that was very important to them every year. It's called the Isthmian Games. And every single year, it was a massive sporting event. The athletes would compete in this huge arena. I've actually been there, and you can go see it today. And the athletes would compete to win a wreath made of celery. Literally, that's what it was made of. Doesn't sound very interesting to me. It makes gold sound a lot better. But that was what they would compete for. And the emperor wore a similar crown himself. And so this celery wreath that was placed on their heads was one that resembled a massive crown that actually hung over the emperor's box. How many of you have ever been in a sporting arena and gotten to sit in a box seat? Anybody before? I never have. I'm raising my hand in jealousy, not in, and maybe in faith for the future. But this massive golden wreath hung over the emperor's box. You can see the spike where it stood still today. And really what it was saying was that if you won that race on that particular day, you won the highest honor in the land. And on top of winning, on top of getting the wreath, you would have an ode or a statue made in your name and in your honor that was hung in the stadium area there. So you're basically forever immortalized. And there was only one ruler. That was the emperor. But so for this one day, though, these men and these women that won that prize were acknowledged as having been virtual equals to the emperor. emperor. You know, some of Kevin's clients have actually received the highest honors that we'll ever see on this side of heaven. Olympic gold medals, you know, Daniel Gill this last year, becoming one of only four people in history to climb to the top of Mount Midoriyama. Still was a few seconds short of the $1 million prize, but he's going to get it. I know it's coming. And, you know, Paul says, all that stuff is great, but at the end of the day, it's awesome. It inspires cheers and applause. But one day, all of those things are going to fade. And if you're a believer, every crown that we get on this side of heaven, God says when we get there, we're just going to throw it at the feet of Jesus in praise and in worship. And if you don't know the Lord, God says all of those things, those crowns, those achievements, those things that you work so hard to get in your life, they're not going to do anything to get you into the kingdom of God. And so here are a couple of kind of takeaways, a few takeaways from the interview with Kevin and just this text today. First thing I want you to write down on the note sheet you should have got in when you came in today is, wherever you're at today, keep running with Jesus. Whatever you're going through, keep running with Jesus. Life throws setbacks to every single one of us. You know, sometimes good things become great things. Sometimes good things keep going and stay good. Sometimes good things don't feel like they're good anymore, but they're still going and you still kind of maintain them. Sometimes good things come to an end for good reason. Sometimes good things come to an end for very frustrating reasons. Sometimes good things come to an end for no reason at all that we can ascertain. You know, the worst thing that any one of us can do in life when it throws us a setback is to stop moving and to stop running with Jesus. You know, the bodies that God gave us were designed physically to move. And both that's true spiritually as well. You know, the minute that we stop moving our bodies, we start the process of dying. The same truth applies to our spiritual lives. But the reality is movement requires effort. And one of the greatest times when you will be tempted to stop moving forward in your faith is after you've experienced a big setback in your life. It's hard. But I want to encourage you, God is big enough to answer your hard questions when you're struggling. You know, unfortunately, sometimes the questions that we ask of the Lord only lead to more questions that we don't have answers to. But you know what Paul says is we actually do have the answer. And the answer is that no matter what setback gets thrown our way, the answer is to keep running with Jesus. You see, the Christian life is a race, so don't give up. And it's a marathon where all of our goal is to help more people get across that finish line. And Jesus says that if we serve him all of our days and we keep running as hard and as fast as we can towards him, one day we'll hear that greatest commendation of all, which is well done, good and faithful servant. Here's the next thing I want you to write down on there. It's get comfortable letting go of things that work against your goals and God's glory. Paul says he doesn't run aimlessly. He doesn't box as one beating the air. He's got a goal in mind, and it's to win the race, the Christian race. And, you know, the athletes in these Isthmian games were required to go through a 10-month training program where they would be sequestered from the rest of the world and from their friendships and their family members. And anything that didn't serve their goals was taken out. Athletes do similar things like this today. But Paul was using that analogy to speak to Christians who were holding on to things, maybe even good things, that weren't serving their goals or weren't helping them give God more glory in their lives. Take a ride in the Bible, if you would, to the book of Hebrews chapter 12. Again, a familiar passage, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I'm going to have Kevin read it.
Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God.
We're running a race. We're running in faith towards Jesus. I want to ask you a question. What are you holding on to that might not be a bad thing, but is something that's weighing you down? Or what are you doing that might be working against your goals? I also want to encourage you not to judge other people for whom those things are just fine. But for you at this point in your life, they're just not serving your goals or giving helping you give God more glory anymore. Just embrace the reality that if something is going to cause you to run slower with Jesus, get comfortable letting it go. And the next thing I want you to write down is this. The way to get stronger is to learn to endure life's punches. You know, the word discipline that is in 1 Corinthians 9 really isn't the best translation of the word from multiple commentators that I came across this week. One commentator I came across this week said that, I quote, "The ancient Greek word means to strike under the eye to give you a black eye." How many of you have ever had a black eye before in your life? I haven't, thank the Lord, but life will throw you some black eyes. And don't let life's black eyes keep you from seeing God's face. Don't let life's punches stop you from running towards Jesus. You know, when Paul says, "I discipline my body to keep it under control," what he was literally saying is, "I'm learning to handle the pain." And so Paul was saying that as he teaches himself to handle the pain, he gets stronger with Jesus. You know, the way that you and I win the Christian race is by running with Jesus and keeping running with him when life's continues to punch us in the face. So to illustrate this, we got a little bit of a prop here. Got to have a little bit of fun, right? You know what I mean?
All right, here we go. Probably could have raffled this off and raised a bunch of money for the church.
Life is going to throw you some punches. Keep running. I wasn't expecting that one. Okay. Keep running with Jesus.
Got excited.
You know, you fail for that test that you've worked so hard for. And you keep running with Jesus. You didn't make the team that you thought was for you. Ugh. Keep running with Jesus. You've been looking for a spouse for years, and you just can't find him anywhere. You keep running with Jesus. You found out that the one that you thought was the one turns out they're not the one, and now it's over. And you keep running. That one you don't see coming either. Yeah, I've had that relationship too in the past. You get laid off. You keep running with Jesus. A friend turns on you. And you keep running with Jesus. Okay. Turns out that friend that turned on you, they weren't just a friend, they were a Christian friend. And it hurts for some reason just a little bit more. And you have to make the choice to keep running with Jesus. Things in the marriage get tough and cold and difficult.
That's at least a couple.
And you keep running with Jesus. The doctor calls you and says, "I'm sorry, it's not good news." And you keep running with Jesus. You get the diagnosis, and it looks like your medical treatment options aren't very good. And you keep running with Jesus. You find out the treatments aren't working after all. And you keep running with Jesus. A loved one passes away unexpectedly. And you just keep running with Jesus. You realize that this church, not just this church, but the church, capital C, nationwide, worldwide, everyone that's ever existed, is beautiful. It's a wonderful organization left behind by Jesus. The only thing the Lord put in place to make disciples. But you also realize that it's led by humans that are highly imperfect, who make mistakes. And sometimes those mistakes negatively affect you personally. And you keep running with Jesus. Your pastor's name is Pastor Kyle. You got to keep running with Jesus. You know, Paul said the Christian life is like a race. And he said it's like a boxer training for a fight. Now, thank you for that. He was very gentle with his punches. I don't know the first thing about boxing, but I know this much about it. You learn to take the punches. And in the Christian life, man, you're going to take hits. And the thing to do when life gives you a punch is, or I'm sorry, the thing that it's tempting to do when life gives you a punch is to think that God's the one who's throwing the punch at you. And I'm here today to tell someone, maybe a many someone's here, that God is not the one throwing punches in your gut. God is the one who's trying to help you see the pain through the light of heaven's eternal purpose. God is the one who can help you take that pain and turn it into glory. God can take your story and he can use it for his glory. And the only way that we get stronger in this Christian life is to learn to endure the punches through the power of Jesus Christ. So keep running with Jesus. Keep in mind that along the way, we're going to get comfortable letting go of things that don't serve our goals or the glory of God. And always remember that the key to getting stronger is to learn to endure life's punches. Kevin, would you pray for us?
Yep. Lord, just thank you for Pastor Kyle. Thank you for City Church, Lord. Thank you for each person here. Pray, Lord, that as they go about their week, they understand, Lord, that they serve a mighty and powerful God who has equipped them wonderfully to do big, big things in his name, Lord. Pray for safety for everybody here, health, happiness, and above all, just a servant attitude going forth, dear God. We love you. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Before you sign off, you can listen to more great messages on City Church's website at lovehopecity.com. Or if you have a question, send us an email at hello@lovehopecity.com. Come see us any Sunday at 701 West Broadway, Anaheim, California. Check the website for times and services.